The Arkansas Talent Podcast is about all things talent in the state of Arkansas. We talk with talented leaders across a variety of industries, including accounting, finance, and HR, where they share their journey and thought leadership. We will also share our knowledge, which includes over 25 years of experience in recruitment in the state. I'm Stephanie Shine.
And I'm Chris Chun. This podcast was inspired not only for the job seeker, but also for hiring leaders and executives to find success and thrive in today's job market.
Welcome to the Arkansas Talent Podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of talking with Andrea Parnell, Chief People Officer at Southern Bancorp. Prior to joining Southern, she held key leadership positions in HR within the information technology and telecommunications industry, where she spearheaded initiatives such as talent acquisition, performance management, succession planning, and leadership development programs.
Andrea holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Arkansas and has an SPHR designation in human resources. Andrea is also actively involved in industry associations such as Central Arkansas Leadership Development and Global Alliance on Banking with Values, and regularly contributes to thought leadership on topics related to HR. As Chief People Officer at Southern Bancorp, Andrea Parnell is dedicated to driving the human capital strategy forward, ensuring that the organization remains an employer of choice in a competitive labor market where talented people have options. We are so excited to have Andrea on today. Thanks so much for joining us, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
Andrea, we'd love to get to know you and your career a little bit better before we jump into the content today, which is about Southern, the tremendous growth that you guys have had, and what you guys are doing to win the war on talent. But first, if you would just tell us a little bit more about your background and your career history.
Sure. I have to give a plug for the HR profession. It's really been good to me. I like variety, and in HR, I've been allowed to work across a number of industries. It's a very transferable skill. You know, when I moved from the tech industry to the telecom, and then from telecom to banking where I am now, I really didn't lose anything. And it's also just been a wide range of work. So, you know, the days where I'm feeling like really working with people, there's been recruitment and employee relations. There's also the more analytical side to it in compensation and benefits. So I've been very fortunate. I've been able to travel through work. I've been able to learn about other professions, other businesses, and it's really afforded me the opportunity for growth and development. My fun fact, which is mostly true, is that I've applied for two jobs. The first job when I landed my career at Systematics, and then the job that I have today. So as I think about my career past, I have to think about the great leaders that I've worked with that really go a long way in carving my future. So I started at Systematics, which was, of course, founded by local businessman Walter Smiley. And I'll circle back to that name here in just a minute. When I started at Systematics, within my first month, they said, "How do you feel about moving to Charlotte, North Carolina?" So I did. There, I helped launch the Nations Bank account, which is now, of course, Bank of America. Systematics was purchased by Altel Corporation, changed its name to Altel Information Services. So I moved over to Altel Information Services. Moved back home to Little Rock, married my high school sweetheart. At Altel Information Services, I did a lot of M&A work, so both on the due diligence side before the transaction, as well as the assimilating of employees after the transaction. That's also where I worked in the Y2K craze, which was, you know, aside from recent years and working in HR during the pandemic, working in HR at a tech company during Y2K was crazy.
Yeah.
The things that we did to attract and retain technical staff was really wild. So a few years later, I move over to Alltel Corporate. I worked in the corporate HR department. And in corporate HR, we are really focused on providing the tools and the solutions to the management team to help them make the most of their human resources. So it was good to have the background that I had prior to that. And that's what gave me the background to implement performance management, succession planning, and even dabble in leadership development programs. So I like to say Alltel is where I was raised. As you may know, Alltel was later purchased by Verizon. And you know what happens in those situations when Verizon has their corporate office and Alltel has their corporate office, there's a lot of redundancy. So for a long period of time, I just worked on the transition of staff from Verizon to Alltel until my role was duplicated. At that time, I was recruited away from Verizon into Allied Wireless. We all affectionately called that baby Alltel at that time because several of the executives that no longer had a role with Verizon started AWCC. My leader was CJ Duvall, who is just an all-around great guy. And when CJ calls, you say, sure, what time, where do I need to be? So that's what I did. Interestingly enough, CJ, while he was my boss at AWCC, is also the person that referred me to the job that I now have. So that sometimes seems weird, like, was he trying to get rid of you? But CJ was always a friend before a leader, and he just saw a great opportunity for me and thought I could do it. So I came to Southern. I was mostly interested in this greater sense of purpose. So you go through your career and you reflect back on what is missing. And Southern has a mission, a social mission that was very attractive to me. And I was hired by none other than Walter Smiley of Systematics fame. So in that way, my career kind of came full circle back to meeting with Walter. And what Walter did for my career, I remember when he hired me, he said, I know you are an HR leader. I'm going to turn you into an executive. So, you know, thankfully, he saw something in me and spent a lot of his valuable time helping make me who I am today.
What an impressive career. And that's funny, the roots with CJ. I feel like there's so many HR leaders in Central Arkansas that have been impacted by CJ, and he's almost placed them in their roles. He's probably the most well-known HR professional in Central Arkansas. We need to have him on the podcast one day.
CJ. Yeah.
Well, Andrea, we've seen Southern in the news over the last year or so, and noticed you guys have seen just such impressive growth. But walk us through Southern Bancorp. I mean, tell us a little bit more about your mission and more about maybe a little bit where the growth is coming from.
Sure. So we like to say Southern is a different kind of bank, and it's really our mission to create economic opportunity in underserved communities that makes us different. So today, our branches are in some of the poorest areas of the country, specifically in the Delta of Arkansas and Mississippi. So in addition to offering traditional banking services, Southern also provides financial development services. So we do credit counseling, we do public policy advocacy. We have a number of programs like the Voluntary Income Tax Assistance Program. Southern is what's called a CDFI, which stands for Community Development Financial Institution. And that designation makes us eligible for federally funded grant dollars. It's more expensive to do business in these rural towns because you have more infrastructure to get a loan. You know, so we'll do small loans where larger banks might think that's too expensive to do that. And what that does is it provides the people in these communities access to capital. So our founding members started the company with about $10 million in seed capital. The founding members include Walter Smiley, the Rockefellers, the Waltons, the Clintons, and several other notable Arkansas families. And today, Southern has over $2.6 billion in assets and is on our way to $5 billion. The growth is coming from this thing called the Emergency Capital Improvement Program. We call it ESIP. And this was the result, it was an outcome of the CARES Act. And the Department of the Treasury recognized that some of the people hit hardest by the economic downturn would have a harder time bouncing back because they did not necessarily have savings or family members or access to those things. So the Department of Treasury is deploying capital to banks for that reason. So we applied for the funding. We received approval for it. It was almost a no-brainer. That's what Southern does. So it was a very, very natural fit with our mission. And that's really what's fueling Southern's growth.
That's awesome. Well, Andrea, through our previous discussions, we were really impressed with the culture at Southern Bancorp and a lot of the benefits that you offer to your employees as well. So before we jump into our talent acquisition strategies, I would love to hear a little bit more about what you guys are offering as far as benefits, because we know this is so critical when hiring in order to, you know, attract and retain top talent. Can you walk us through a little bit more about your benefits?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So we have a mantra. We say we are wealth builders for everyone. That applies to our customers. It applies to our employees as well. So we think about our benefits as wealth building tools. You know, organizations offer benefits because it's just part of the total compensation package that you have to offer to attract and retain. We really think about them a little bit differently. So with our retirement plan, for example, that is clearly a wealth building tool. We do everything we can to get employees to take advantage of that. So we auto enroll new hires. We auto escalate their contribution every year. And we provide all of our employees with access to personalized investment advisors. That's a big deal in these rural communities where they wouldn't otherwise have that. We have, for the 12 years that I've been here, we've been able to offer a health plan with a $0 deductible. So as you know, the trend lately has been a $1,500 deductible, which means you pay that out of pocket before the insurance really even kicks in. It's another wealth building tool. On the more innovative side, we offer, we call it an employee opportunity loan. So the concept is, I'll use an example. So if you're in a rural town and your car breaks down and you don't have the money to repair your car, then you can't get to your job. So you lose your job and it can start this downward spiral. That kind of thinking is what inspired this employee opportunity loan. The way it works is an employee can just by a click of a button get approved for this employee opportunity loan. There's no underwriting required because we use their net pay in their paycheck as the collateral. So if they left the organization, we would just withhold that from their paycheck. And they we deduct it through the next 26 pay periods so they can get another one when they pay off that first one. And the last one I'll highlight is the employee home loan. So we're able to offer a mortgage loan to employees with 1 year of service that is at a discounted rate. And that one's very, very popular.
Yeah, that's got to be super popular right now.
Yes.
And Chris, that health plan with the zero deductible, I don't think we've heard of that before, of clients offering that. I mean, that's awesome. How do you guys do that?
It's been so interesting to study that. And, you know, it's funny to me. So we use Blue Cross as our third party administrator. And they'll typically say something in a joking manner like, hey, are you guys hiring? We don't even offer that deductible. But what I have found is that $0 deductible makes people go get their preventative care done. Yeah. There's no barrier to getting that done. And I think that we reap the reward of that over time. It's been interesting.
Yeah, I mean, all of those benefits you guys offer as a total package are impressive, and I'm sure that's definitely helping you with retaining and attracting talent. Well, let's jump into the content for today. We have a lot to cover on how Southern has been, we like to say, winning the war on talent because it is a war out there. We've been living it. I had a brief discussion with my longtime contact and friend, Marietta, when kind of talking about catching up, how she was doing, and she actually connected us with you, Andrea, which we're thankful for that. But when we were talking, I just did not realize the growth that you guys have had and how many people you've actually had to hire over the last year, a couple of years. I mean, it was really impressive to hear because, you know, we don't see a lot of Arkansas companies having to ramp up of your size this much and this quickly. And then when we talked to you, we were just impressed all that you've done to support this growth with you and your teams to have to hire all these individuals. So we want you to walk us through what HR and talent acquisition strategies you guys have had to use to make this happen.
Yes, I would be happy to. So, for years and years, Southern was sitting at about 300, 320 employees. I mean, we're a small bank. And now we're sitting at somewhere north of 550. So, for us, that was a
Wow.
very significant amount of growth in a short time. When we were approved for ESIP, and I remember getting a text from my CEO at like 2 in the morning. We were approved for ESIP. It was a big deal, you know, one of those things that we'll always remember.
Remember.
So we realized we needed, okay, so we've got the funding. Now, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to deploy it to have the most impact possible? The executive team got together and created a strategic roadmap. And that strategic roadmap consisted really of three main things. We were launching a mortgage lending business, which is super interesting in the economic downturn when a lot of mortgage lenders were not doing very well, you know. But on the flip side, there was a lot of talent available in the mortgage lending area. We were launching an urban market strategy. So, where I said earlier, we are in some of the poorest towns in the Arkansas Mississippi Delta. Now we're going to urban markets. So, it's a whole different business model. And the goal was to double our size in 5 years. So, both in terms of our asset size, but really driven by purpose. Our goal was really to have a bigger impact on the individuals. So to us in HR, this meant that we were facing high volume recruitment. So we were going to hire a bunch of people in a very short amount of time. We were filling hard to fill roles. So we're talking about C-suite jobs, very specialized lenders, and we're moving into markets where we're not known. So we said we need a plan. We need a strategy. The first thing that we did was we staffed up the HR team. So we knew that we needed folks on the team who knew how to go find people. So how to leverage social media, how to use LinkedIn. And, you know, as I've jokingly said, we've got to move away from a post and pray strategy to really go finding people. And then we needed to onboard people properly and help get them trained. So we put those wheels in motion. I mentioned that we made several C-suite hires. We almost doubled our C-suite in that period of time. And we knew that we could not get it wrong with those C-suite hires because those folks were building out their own teams. And so if we made, you know, if we got the wrong person in that seat, it set us back and we would not be hitting our timelines. So we began using search committees and doing panel interviews. So when the C-suite candidate came in, there are people on that panel interview that are all looking through a different lens. So you've got somebody on there that's thinking about leadership capabilities. You've got somebody on the panel that's thinking about fit just with company culture. And then, of course, subject matter experts. So we're wanting to take a very well-rounded view. We also started using competency assessments. We realized that as we grow, We needed even more from our leaders, and we needed them not so much doing and executing, but more planning and strategizing and working through people. And the competency assessments helped us to assess that. We realized that we needed to be open to remote work, which sounds easier than it is. So we updated several of our policies. We knew we needed to educate our managers on how do you engage remote employees, how do you work with remote employees. We needed to make sure that our infrastructure outside of HR was ready for that. So IT, for example, making sure that we had all the systems in place to help us work with a larger talent pool for some of the jobs that we were going after. And then the last thing that I'll mention is we really started telling our story of why we do what we do and reinforcing the company culture. So if you go on to our careers website, it really tries to tell, you know, what it's like to work at Southern, but also how we are motivated by this sense of purpose. And I have seen that over and over be a big draw of talent for us. And it's not why we do it, obviously, but it helps with our talent acquisition strategies. And it was, y'all saw it too, like after, during and after the pandemic, people were just reassessing their lives. Why do I do what I do?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to work just for a paycheck. I want to have more purpose. And so Southern's mission has really helped connect that dot for a lot of individuals.
Very cool. This is also very impressive. When we talked the last time, you said you have a talent win room, which sounded like a war room. Talk to us a little bit about this and how this has helped you internally with hiring.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The talent win room, the concept is like a war room. Now, of course, I have zero military experience. So what I know about that is from watching movies or the news. But the idea is that you have everything in your arsenal ready to deploy, and you have all of the right people in the room paying attention so that if something unexpected happens or you get off track somewhere, you can respond to it in the moment. So for us, that meant we developed some staffing tools, interview guides, how we're going to make the compensation offers. At the C-suite, of course, compensation is a lot more than just salary. And then developing site visit agendas. So all of that was, you know, sitting at ready. And then we just, with every new role related to our strategic roadmap and our growth, we managed it like a project. So we said by this stage, we should be through with recruitment. At this date, we should be through with the panel interview. At this date, the candidate should be here for a site interview. And we kept all of that on a dashboard for all of the jobs that we're recruiting so that we could say, that's off track. That job needs our attention. That job's been out there for 6 months. So what do we do to get more eyeballs on it? What's going wrong? And that just allowed us to kind of be more intentional and more agile in our recruiting of those roles.
I like that you guys have the win room, right? I like the concept. And having that dashboard almost feels like how external recruiters. So Chris and I, we have a dashboard
Yeah.
where we have timelines and we track things and we have this, you know, literal board of jobs and where they're at in the process and what candidates are in the jobs. And, you know, we move things around based on the timeline and feedback. So I think that's interesting. And I love that you guys are almost doing that as if you were an external recruiter, but you're doing it for your organization. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, it was what we found is, you know, we, like a lot of HR organizations, we have our own metrics that we track in terms of, you know, how long it takes to fill a job. But we were guilty at times of once it left our realm and it's over with the hiring manager, we weren't necessarily managing it as tightly.
Yeah.
And those hiring managers, with everything we have going on, are super, super busy. So we felt like it was our responsibility to nudge them when we needed to, because it doesn't make for a good candidate experience when it's drug out for so long.
Yeah, you're hearing that all over LinkedIn of candidates that are looking for roles, but they're getting frustrated or no longer interested if they don't get adequate feedback, or if they're in their fourth or fifth interview when it should be a quicker process. So I think that's smart too. I want to go back a little bit to one of your talent acquisition strategies, which was opening your talent pool to remote candidates. I'm curious, because this is still a very hot topic that we're talking about, that our clients and candidates are talking about really on a daily basis. When you open that up, what was your culture like with remote prior to that? And did you have to change your internal strategy with employees that you already have, with allowing them to work remote or hybrid? What did that whole process look like in that change?
We had a handful of remote employees before, but they were more of the exception. So you might not think about, oh, we need to, you know, when we have the meeting, we need to send the materials in advance, or it was kind of an afterthought. And so the training that we provided to management really helps them think through, how do you engage remote employees? What happens if your manager is also remote and the employee is remote? What happens when everybody else is in a certain location? So we thought a lot about at meetings, but we then also thought about how do you engage them in all of the social aspects of a company? You know, the parts that make it fun to be there, when you're celebrating birthdays. And so we tried to incorporate that just to have them feel more a part of the organization.
And I'm sure that that opened up your talent pool to so many additional candidates, because you are hiring for very specific skill sets. Let's walk through what types of hires you guys have had to make, and what are those skill sets that you were looking for?
That's actually a very good segue. So I'll start by talking about the mortgage lending division. Our president of the mortgage lending division is based out of Nashville. I think we have 20 people in that organization now, and every single one of them are remote. They're not in the same location. So that's been interesting. We also launched a treasury management function. We're centralizing more functions. You know, as you grow, when you're smaller, people wear many different hats, and as you grow, we are centralizing more of those functions and allowing for more specialization of roles. You already know that we added to our HR team. We also added several to our marketing and communications teams. Lately, we've been adding to our accounting and finance team, also expanding internal audit and compliance in the future. We are hiring more for information security and digital banking. And we added several strategic roles: product development, he's remote; strategy, he's remote; operations and stakeholder engagement. So yes, we've added a lot of different roles to the organization, and a lot of them are remote and provided a talent pool that we would not otherwise have had access to. I will say too, some of our best hires have come through referrals. So we do have an employee referral program. Lots of companies do. But we really thought long and hard about the reach of our executive team as well as our board, because we have a board that's very, very engaged and involved in the business. So we developed collateral, whether it was email, whether they preferred paper, just as a way to help them reach some of the folks that they knew that would be a good with the company culture, good fit for the role, and really just tried not to underestimate that reach and really take advantage of that when we could.
Well, now that you've gotten the majority of your hires made, like, what does the future look like for Southern and the teams? And do you have more plans for growth? And how are you preparing for that in HR and talent acquisition?
We are still very much in growth mode. Where we are, we've hired several of the leaders. Now they're going to start to build out their teams. So we still have a lot of work in this area. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about leadership competency models. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. And I worked with competency models at a previous company and swore I would never work with them again because they can get a little bit unwieldy. But what I recognized is, again, our leaders needed to become less processors and more process owners, and that their value is likely not so much about what they can do themselves, but what they can accomplish through people. So my thinking is this competency framework really allows us to identify those skills in the hiring process, and it allows us to develop those skills as folks are onboarded or as we promote people into higher roles of leadership.
Andrea, can you walk us through what that is, what that competency model is, and how you do that, just for those that maybe are not familiar with that?
Yes, we are using the Caliper assessment, which has a number of competencies to choose from, but we're using one that they have modeled for senior leaders, and there are 10 or so competencies on there. An example may be how well you lead folks through change, organizational savvy, how you push through ideas in an organization and deal with derailing behaviors and that sort of thing. So it's in the assessment process, it provides a report of how that individual scored and how that aligns with what we see as the leadership competencies most critical to success for our senior leaders. And then it's not a yes or no. There's no, like, you know, if you score below 80, you fail. It really is just a tool in your toolkit as you are assessing individuals. So we basically pull it out and use it in the interview process. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, Stephanie, we noticed you rated lower in this area. We want to talk about that because that could be either a frustration for you or for the company. So we'll just kind of vet that with them and make sure that that we feel comfortable that it's not going to be a derailer.
Awesome. Well, Andrea, this has all been great information. I wanted to close with, if I know you're still in hiring and growth mode, but going through the bulk of the beginning stages, what would you have done differently if you could do it all over again? And what advice would you give to a company who maybe just received the phone call at 2 a.m. and they're getting ready for this type of impressive growth? What advice would you give to them?
You know, we were pretty fortunate because so Southern, our CEO, has great relationships with CEOs at very larger banks, much larger banks, and some locally who had gone through rapid growth. So we did exactly what you just said. We called them and said, what would you do? Exactly the question you just asked me. Looking back, what would you have done differently? And to a person, they almost all said, staff up your HR team, because HR is the one that's going to bring them in, going to onboard them. So if you wait to justify the HR headcount, then you're too late. And so our CEO did a really good job of setting the expectations with our board and our shareholders that we are investing for growth. So our numbers may look a little different, but we have to do that now to be able to handle the growth when it comes.
I think that's really smart. Can you tell us what your HR recruitment team consists of right now? How many people, what type of different roles?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So I have a leader over organizational development, and she's in charge of what I call all of the front end pieces of the employment lifecycle. So she's in charge of talent acquisition, onboarding, and training. On the talent acquisition team, we have a very seasoned professional who focuses really on the hard to fill roles. So a lot of the jobs that are related to the strategic roadmap. We always have our, we're always recruiting for our fabulous front line. So our tellers, our customer service reps, and we have an individual dedicated to that. So we've split the duties in that way. And that really makes a lot of sense because the way you recruit, interview is really different based on those skill sets and those markets and where you're drawing from. In addition to that, we have two folks who are instructional designers slash trainers. So they both develop and deliver the curriculum. And then as long as I'm talking about my team, I've got to mention the employee relations team. So we have a leader over employee relations, compensation benefits, and he has a couple of team members. And then I have a direct report who specializes in executive compensation. So we are a fairly small team, but much like Southern, at one point, I was here along with two part-time team members and one full-time team member. And now we have, 11 or 12. So yeah. Relative to where we started, it was pretty big growth.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot of fun for you and the teams to just go through it and see that growth and see the changes that you've made throughout the company. So that's awesome. Well, we like to close our shows with learning a little bit more about our guests. So tell us, what do you like to do in your free time, Andrea?
So I'm a fairly recent empty nester. So I didn't have a lot of free time previously, but now I do. And my husband and I really got into pickleball. So, if people can get really obsessed with pickleball.
I've heard.
We were kind of obsessed. We were playing like five times a week when we first started playing. And now we've scaled it back to about three times a week. In addition to that, I'm a bike rider. I love to spend Saturday on the beautiful trails here in Little Rock.
Okay.
And then when I'm inside, we always have a jigsaw puzzle on the dining room table, always working puzzles. And I like to read.
That's awesome. Hey. Do you do any of the local races? I know we missed the one last weekend. I think it was Car Tie's race.
It was Car Tie.
Do you guys?
And, interestingly enough, I was signed up for that, but my son got a job in Fayetteville and we had 2 weeks to find an apartment and get him moved up. So I've done Car Tie a couple of times. Yep. I've done Big Dam Bridge several times.
Yeah.
The last time I did 50 miles and I thought I was going to die. It was hard.
Yeah, same. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know you said you like to read. What are you reading right now? Or have you read any good books recently?
So right now I'm kind of in a dry spell. I don't know if y'all are like that, but I'll read. So I'm in a book club. So I generally read a book or two a month, but I have not read a book in 2 months. And last night at book club, I showed up and had not read the book, which is a very shameful thing to do. But, generally, I like historical nonfiction as a category, and I read a lot about World War II, not the battles, but just the personal struggles that people endure. So Winter Garden is a really good one. The Nightingale, the Alice Network. Those are some of my favorites.
What about podcasts? Do you like to listen to any podcasts?
I do. And it's kind of different. If I'm just driving to work and I'll just listen to something kind of short. Mike Rowe, the guy that does Dirty Jobs and The Greatest Catch.
Yeah.
He does the most interesting little podcasts and he markets them as the podcast for folks with short attention span. So that works really well. But, you know, he tells this very intriguing story and you don't know who he's talking about until he gets to the end of the story, and then it's always some surprising fact. So those are interesting. If I'm traveling for work and I'm in the car for a period of time, I love to just get engrossed in a podcast that makes the travel time go by. I think, and this is a little bit older, but still probably one of my favorite would be Dirty John or Dr. Death, which are true stories about people. And in both cases, those folks are a couple of shysters and the things they got away with. And then, of course, in the end, you know, they're caught and they get, you know, paid back. So those are very interesting podcasts. They can make the time fly like that when you're driving.
Yeah. What advice would you want to give somebody who would like to pursue a career path in HR? Or let's say they're just starting out as a generalist, or maybe they're a manager and they're wanting to take that next step. What advice would you give them?
You know what I tell everybody, whether it's a career in HR or some other field, is to really understand your natural aptitudes. So, you know, there's all kinds of tools out there. There's StrengthFinders assessment. There's the Highland Battery, Highland Aptitude Battery. And those tests tell you a lot about just the way you're wired. And to me, if you can figure out those things and let that point you to a career instead of necessarily chasing, you know, where you're going to get the most money, I think that's when you have the greatest chance of being successful, because you're going to build strength, unique strength in that area, and really build on that and kind of be in the right seat on the bus as you grow your career. So I'm a big fan of those. My dad made my brother and I do that when we were growing up and had just graduated high school before we went into college. And then I made both of my boys do it, and they reference it all the time. It's just been super, super insightful.
That's great advice.
Yeah, for sure. Great advice. Andrea, where can our listeners connect with you or learn more about your open roles at Southern?
So the best source is just our website. It's southernbankcorp.com. We have a careers link. All our jobs will be posted there. We also have our jobs scraped over to Indeed, and we use LinkedIn regularly for some of our harder to fill roles.
Well, good deal. Well, Andrea, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time today and bringing in your knowledge. It's been awesome. And I know Stephanie and I, we're so excited to continue to see your company grow and flourish.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Agree. This is a great conversation, Andrea. We're going to leave the links in our bio if you want to get in touch with Andrea on LinkedIn or if you want to learn more about working at Southern Bancorp. For more staffing or career advice, or if you have a great topic or person that we should get on the show, please get in touch with Chris or I through LinkedIn or through the links in our bio. You can also go to our company website at www.arkansastalentgroup.com, and you can refer a podcast guest there.
We look forward to the next episode of Arkansas Talent. You can download this and future podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.